We greet each one in the precious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, whom the Apostle Paul in the second chapter of 1 Corinthians said, who of God has made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. This morning we want to our text is both a question and then an answer. Found in James 3:17. Who is a wise man among you? Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? A question. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? The answer, and it's a deep challenge, let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. That's what we want to focus on this morning. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. Proverbs 9 says, wisdom hath builded her house, she hath hewn out her seven pillars. And we are going to look at that, how wisdom is building her house and how she has hewn out seven pillars. And we think of pillars, or house rather, being built. Wisdom is building her house, and she has hewn out seven pillars. We think of pillars. I drove into Edifice's yard last week, and this was really brought on my mind by, they were given an assignment to build a structure that had a floor, and which would be the foundation, and then had a roof structure, but it was only supported by pillars. And they were pondering, those who were assigned to build that structure, that edifice, were pondering the strength of that structure. And as they pondered the strength of that structure, we got into a bit of debate, and the structure, was the strength of that structure in the roof? Was the strength of that structure in the floor? Well, you might say, yes, the floor. But the strength of that structure were in the pillars that were supporting that edifice. And as they were pondering that, they were debating, will it stand the forces that are of the wind in this country? Will it stand the being moved, how many, 150 miles or however far is down to Animas? They're pondering that, but one thing he was confident of, he said, we have an engineered print, and we're going by that print. This morning, I'm glad when we think of a pillars, as the definition says, pillars are to support the weight of a superstructure. When we think of that, pillars supporting the weight of a structure, we think of we're going to look at the seven pillars of wisdom in supporting the structure within the home, within the church, and within in marriage, within our personal lives. So, when it says, who is a wise man endued with knowledge among you, there's lots of wise men around. Let him show out of his good conversation, let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. Man's design is flawed, often flawed. And I think the ones who were building that structure wondered about that blueprint. It can be flawed. Man's design can be flawed. But the flaw, God's design is never flawed. And we can trust the ultimate wisdom of an all-knowing, sovereign, omniscient God that what he has spoken in his word and gives us direction in life is not flawed. It will support the structure of our homes and of our churches. And we can move ahead in confidence, knowing that regardless of what we face, like Daniel, he knew, he relied on his God and trusted in his God, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens, women received their dead raised to life again, and others at trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, aimed moreover bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. That's the God we trust in, divine design, the wisdom of an all-knowing God. She hath hewn out her seven pillars. I like the thought of hewn out. Hewn out, divine design. It has a mind, it has a thought of being sculptured. Someone there doing the work, knowing full well what the weight of that structure is, and there that divine artificer is there hewing out the pillars. So we're going to look at the pillars. She hath built her house, she hath hewn out her seven pillars. We said man's design is flawed. God is the engineer of this structure. That's why it says, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman awaketh, but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for lo, he giveth his beloved sleep. We need not build in vain. We must keep the Lord in the building project. It's his divine design. In order to do this, we could see wisdom, it said, it's godliness, piety, the knowledge of the fear of God, coupled with sincere and consistent obedience to the commands of God. Turn with me to Isaiah 66. Here a question is asked by God himself. 66, 1 and 2. Thus saith the Lord, that heaven is my throne, and earth is my footstool. Where is the house that ye build unto me? And where is the place of my rest? For all those things mine hand hath made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord. Notice the last. But to this man will I look, even to him that is of a poor and a contrite spirit, and one who trembleth at my word. Brethren, that's the only condition of heart that this of everyone in this congregation, if we're going to allow the Lord to build, and he has engineered the work and the weight of the structure of building our homes and building our churches, it is back to the foot of the cross. We are broken and contrite men before the Lord. Does it only happen when we become Christian? Every day we fall prostrate before a holy God and tremble before him and tremble before his word and watch carefully the blueprint, knowing he has engineered it and it is unflawed. This man will I look, even to him that is a poor and contrite spirit and one who trembleth at my word. Verse 8, Who hath heard such a thing? Question. Who hath seen such things? Shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day? Or shall a nation be born at once? Notice, for as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth children. Travail. Travail. Pain. All that goes along with the thought of travail. Anguish of heart. Knowing that in order to bring forth a child, this is coming upon a person in order for something to be born, it takes travail. And as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth children. That is a comfort. But it takes a broken and contrite heart before the Lord, and then it takes a Zion that is willing to travail in birth until Christ be formed in each one of us. Now we're going to move on. It is not in man to direct his own steps. When it says, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. The principle of this psalm, Psalm 127, is that all human efforts are vain unless they have God's blessing. We want to build, continue to build, with God's blessing, ultimately. Turn with me to Paul's testimony in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. How are we to build? In the wisdom of God. And I, brethren, when I came unto you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. That's where it starts. We determined not to know anything among us save Jesus Christ and him crucified. It starts, the power to build right starts at the foot of the cross with broken men. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not this wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that should come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God hath ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Satan is not omniscient. But as is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear hath heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. That's how wisdom is found. Through the brokenness at the foot of the cross, the indwelling presence of the power of the Holy Spirit in our hearts, and then we discern deep spiritual matters. We go deep in this book. We know through the promises of God, claiming the promises of God, that wisdom will be given to us to build according to his word and his will. Turn with me to Proverbs 9:17. I want to go now to look at the pillars, the seven pillars. Wisdom hath builded her house. She hath hewn out seven pillars. She hath killed her beasts. She hath mingled her wine. She hath furnished her table. She hath sent forth her maidens. She crieth upon the high places of the city. Who is simple? Let him turn in hither. As for him that wanteth understanding, she saith to him, Come eat of my bread and drink of the wine which I have mingled. Forsake the foolish and live and go in the way of understanding. He that reproveth a scorner getteth himself ashamed, and he that rebuketh a wicked man getteth himself a blot. Reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Rebuke not a wise man. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee. Give instruction to the wise man, and he will yet be wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of the wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. That's where it comes from, the source, the fountain of divine wisdom. The knowledge of the holy gives understanding. So we want to look at these seven pillars. Turn with me to James chapter 3. The seven pillars of wisdom. I'm going to draw from this book. I'm not going to read the first part of this book. It is man, horrible state, uncontrolled state outside of the controlling power of the Holy Spirit, and what it works in our members to bring confusion and implode the church through uncontrolled members of our body and that of the tongue. It can be controlled. Ships can be controlled. Horses can be controlled. Animals can be trained. This is an untamed member. We're not going to dwell on that. We're going to go right to verse 13. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. And then go to verse 17. But the wisdom that is from above is first, number one pillar, pure. Number two, peaceable. Number three, gentle. Number four, easy to be entreated. Number five, full of mercy and good fruits. Number six, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Number seven, the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Brethren, that is the essence of divine wisdom. That is the essence of you showing out of a good conversation your works with meekness of wisdom. The first one, first pillar, pure. We might say undefiled, morally upright, absolutely, when it comes to wisdom. You go on down and read in chapter in Proverbs 9, and it talks about the moral fool that is drawn in and enticed by a licentious woman. Don't go there. Moral fidelity is one of the strong pillars of our homes. Our commitment, our covenant with our spouses is a strong pillar that makes up our homes, the strength of our homes, and the strength of the church. Our fidelity to our covenants that we make before God and before men. Pure, undefiled. I had to think, worked for a man one time. That man, he had a lot of wisdom. When it came to farming and the science of it and financial management, he was, you could sit there and learn at his feet. But as we coffeed around the table, and I was in and out of his home some, I watched the inner workings of that marriage relationship some. He would make jesting comments about his wife. He would make light of marriage. I knew he couldn't trust her. He could sense that by what he said, she didn't trust him. He lived his life and she lived hers. And look out if you crossed each other's path. He had a lot of wisdom and knowledge in that respect. Morally, He couldn't put it together. He didn't have divine help. He didn't have Christ in his life. Morally, within the life and structure of the Christian home, it is put together. And we know the blessing of the order of headship. The order of headship. God, Christ, man, woman. Each one is subject to their head. Christ to God. Man to Christ. Woman to man. A beautiful picture of structure. I mean, has men, has psychology, has counselors been able to improve on it? No. They have nothing to add to give counsel in relation to marriage problems. They take it back to the book. Here is where we get solid counsel and wisdom in relation, and it's found in the beauty of the context of divine headship. One illustration, wisdom is pure. It's pure in motive. We have no hidden agendas. We could go to, I love what the Apostle Paul said. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians 3. Pure in motive. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Going to read from verse 17 on through into chapter 4. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, as hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God commanded, who hath commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Brethren, that's the only way it can happen. The excellency of the power in preaching, in teaching, and you, brethren, you sharing with your families and your homes around the family altar, and you're ministering to spiritual needs, it's a ministration of the Holy Spirit through you to meet the spiritual needs of our homes, of our spouses, of our brethren, of church, of the sheep we are shepherding. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Pure in motive, no hypocrisy, no uncharitableness. We can go to Isaiah 29. We'll look at that passage. Isaiah 29, it gives a contrast. Contrasts are good to look at. It's the way Proverbs teaches, is by contrast. The wise and the foolish, and those that don't take the path of true wisdom. Verse 17, 29, 17. Is it not for a very little while, and Lebanon shall be turned into a fruitful field, and the fruitful field shall be esteemed a forest? Question. And in that day shall the deaf hear the words of the book, and the eyes of the blind shall see out of obscurity and out of darkness. The wisdom of God, the revelation of divine truth comes to our hearts, sinks into our minds and our conscience and our hearts, and becomes part of our being. a blossoming picture, flourishing. The meek also shall increase their joy in the Lord, and the poor among men shall rejoice in the Holy One of Israel. For the terrible one is brought to naught, and the scorner is consumed, and all that watch for iniquity are cut off, that make a man an offender for a word, and lay a snare for him that reproveth in the gate, and turneth aside the just for a thing of naught. Verse 24, they also that erred in spirit shall come to understanding, and they that murmured shall learn doctrine. Godly wisdom, this pillar of being pure in heart, without hypocrisy and without posturing, hypocritical posturing, pure in heart. Brethren, that's what it takes to be that pillar, be that first pillar in the structure that supports the weight. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, and who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. Pillar number two. Wisdom is peaceable. It means peace-loving. Peaceable, free from agitation or disturbance that comes from passions and emotions of fear and anxiety. A state of peace. It's a contrast. We are free from that. It's a state of harmony and reconciliation between two offending parties. It's a quietness of mind, tranquility, calmness, quietness of conscience. A pillar of peace in our personal life, in our marriage life, in the life of the church. Brethren, yes, free from guilt, free from a state of harmony, reconciliation between two offending, quietness of mind, tranquility, calmness, quietness. In Ecclesiastes 1:10, or 10 verse 4, there's an interesting passage there. It talks about a king that is riled up and is working, and he has the power and authority to destroy, do what he wants to you with you. It says, the response, yielding pacifieth great offenses. Yielding pacifieth great offenses. Let that truth sink into our hearts. Peace. There can be contention and strife. There can be those things that cause anxiety and fear and distress and tumult. But just yielding to the work of the Holy Spirit in our hearts pacifieth great offenses. Let us follow after things that make for peace and the things wherewith one may edify another. That structure, I like the thought of it being, my brother said, they named that edifice, their company edifice, because it is from the root word edify, and the one who is managing that business says, in this company, our motto is to help others to bring the best out of them. Bring the best out of them. That is our motto. May that be our motto in being instruments of peace. We could go to the book of Philemon. We're going to look there at the last part of this message. So we won't. When we think of a state of harmony and reconciliation between two offending parties, that beautiful picture there in the life of the circumstance surrounding Philemon's life, Onesimus and the Apostle Paul, and where there was an offense there and how it brought him into a state of reconciliation. The next one is gentleness. Does that seem benign? Is gentleness benign? You know, really, you like to have a person that is maybe assertive, maybe presents himself in a real positive way. Gentleness. Courteous, considerate of others. I like the passage in Proverbs 31 where it says, in her tongue is the law of kindness. I see that as a dignity of a Christian woman. In her tongue is a law of kindness. A gentle spirit. A spirit that manifests the spirit of Christ in the home in ways that are moving, touching, deeply impenetrating, and brethren the same way. Gentleness. Mild, meek, mild and meek, not rough, harsh, or severe. And we went that we think of the wisdom as gentle. Well, we're going to move on. Wisdom is easy to be entreated. No, yes, wisdom is easy to be entreated, it says. Easy to be entreated. Pillar number 4. Willing to yield to reason. Willing to yield to scriptural appeal. Willing to yield to divine counsel of the word. Through the brethren, through this body, it's a pillar of strength. Easy to be entreated. Turn with me to 1 Samuel 25. I think of a person who was maybe not that easy to be entreated, but he was entreated by a woman in the person of Abigail when he was under the force of strong emotion, and he was ready to come in and just do his number and spill blood guiltily. 1 Samuel 25, 26. It diffused the situation. Verse 3. Now the name of the man was Nabal, and the name of his wife Abigail. I really wanted to name one of my daughters Abigail, was voted out. And she was a woman of good understanding and of a beautiful countenance, but the man was churlish and evil in his doing and was of the house of Caleb. Let's go on. You know the story. How that David and his men, as they were out there in the wilderness, they needed things to sustain them physically. And they needed help from other sources. And they sought out Nabal to be able to give them help. And he said, who is this rogue of a man that's out there wandering away and doing his own thing? He's not worthy of my consideration, not at all. He's churlish. And so David was stirred by that. He said, listen, I have given you and your men protection all these years, or through these years. And you treat me like this? I'm offended. I'm out there. I'm going to take care of this matter. He said, We were a wall, and they were a wall unto us both night and day, and all the while we were with them keeping the sheep. In verse 16, Abigail was saying this. And then it goes down, Abigail made haste, took 200 loaves and all that she made haste to do something about this situation, to defuse it. And it said, David said in verse 20, now David has said, surely in vain have I kept this fellow hath in the wilderness, so that nothing was missed and all that pertaineth unto him, and he requiteth me evil for good. Wow, what a situation, what a buildup. Notice Abigail came on the scene. Verse 20, I pray thee, forgive the trespass of thine handmaid, for the Lord will certainly make my Lord a sure house, because the Lord fighteth the battles of the Lord. Because my Lord fighteth the battles of the Lord, and evil hath not been found in thee all thy days. Yet a man is risen up to pursue thee and to seek my soul, but the soul of my Lord shall be bound in the bundle of life with the Lord thy God, and the souls of thine enemies, them shall he sling out as out of the middle of a sling. And verse 32, easy to be entreated. Notice, she brought all these gifts. She bowed herself down before him. She said that. And David said unto Abigail, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, which sent thee this day to meet me. And blessed be thy advice. And blessed be thou which hast kept me this day from coming to shed blood and from avenging myself with mine own hand. For in very deed is the Lord God of Israel liveth, which hath kept me back from hurting thee, except thou hast hasted and come to meet me. Surely there had not been left unto Nabal by the morning light any that pisseth against the wall. And David received her hand, that which she had brought to him, and said unto her, go up in peace to thine house. See, I have hearkened to thy voice and have accepted thy person. The beauty of that pillar of being easily entreated. You know, weak and in the heat of emotion, be stirred up, make rash moves and judgments and a pillar of the house of wisdom is one who is easily entreated. Broken before the Lord, perceive how God directs through a simple instrument like Abigail to come and entreat. Yes, this is godly wisdom. This is godly advice. Yes, I will accept it and be directed by its counsel. Wisdom is full of mercy and good fruits. Another pillar. Mercy and good fruits. I'm going to bring this to close. You can go to Job 29, 1 to 17, and then Job enumerates. He said, I was eyes to the blind, I was feet to the, what he was to the widow, and he goes on and says, this was my heart, full of mercy and good fruits. And the pillar in the life of the church and in our homes is we are ministers of mercy and of good fruits. It means so much, the ministry of mercy and the pillar that is in the life of the home, life of the church, when we are willing to vicariously enter into the experience of another, identify with them and their struggles, and say, yes, I was there too. I needed the Lord's help. God, blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. What a wonderful blessing that is. Christ, or another, the sixth wisdom, pillar of wisdom is without partiality and without hypocrisy. We are true men. What I read in your life is you. There is no posturing, hypocritical posturing. You are true blue. And what you say and the moves you make, I can read you, you read me, and there's mutual trust. Without partiality and without hypocrisy. I'm just going to give an illustration that happened to us in San Diego. I had to learn a lesson. Do we have our biases? We do have our biases. And biases, it affected me somewhat. We were in San Diego and we wanted to go to church on a Sunday morning. And we went, called a taxi, seeing there was a, looked in the phone book and there was Church of Christ. Sounded like a pretty good name. I thought it might be Holderman, Church of God and Christ. Let's go look it up. So we hailed a taxi and a taxi came, white driver. And we give him the address. And we drove. And we drove. And I'm sure the taxi driver sort of wondered, where's this address taking us? And we drove into an area that was black. And we stopped along the curb, and there the congregation was just meeting on a Sunday morning just before they went in for worship. And they were all black. Taxi driver looked at us. I don't know if I looked at him or not, but he said, is this really the address you want to be left off at? Well, I said, it's the address we gave you. Yeah, leave us off here. So we got out, and it somewhat took these black people by surprise. All of a sudden, two white man and wife showed up, but they were courteous and courteous, I should say, and cordial, invite us in, and warmth. In that Sunday morning service, guess what they had for Sunday morning Sunday school? They had Acts 10, where Cornelius had come to Peter, had seen this vision, and then how they were brought together, and Peter had his vision on the housetop at Joppa. Peter had his strong Jewish biases. And the dark man that stood up and taught us in Sunday school, he give it with eloquence, and he said, God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted of him. And a woman, she was ahead of us, she stood up and she started to give her testimony. It was spontaneous. It was, the blessing of redemption through Jesus Christ and salvation through the blood of his atonement and all that meant to her. And she sort of turned around and swept halfway and swept her hand over the, and Christ even died for these Caucasians. Yes, Christ died for these. We were the odd man out in color without partiality and without hypocrisy. We have no biases. One might I say, biological and blood relationships stop at the church door. Christ said, they said, your mother and your brethren are here. And he said, who are my brethren? Who is my mother, my brethren, my sister? He that believeth in me and doeth my will. Brethren, the beauty of impartiality within this body is a strong pillar. Wisdom produces the fruit of righteousness. We'll finish. We have that, I just want to add feet washing to that picture. The beauty of the ordinance of feet washing. When we stoop down and wash our brother's feet and are in humility, are willing to serve him in his need. And each other. Beautiful. It's a blessing to the church. We'll bring this to close. Wisdom is the fruit of righteousness. Wisdom, the fruit of righteousness, is sown in peace of them that make peace. You go to the book of Philemon. We don't have time to do that. We're going to close here. It's a book where it speaks of verse 6, verse 1, cooperation, verse 6, communication, verse 7, consolation. Verse 14, consideration of each other. Verse 21, confidence. Verse 22, hospitality. A strong pillar. sown peace, the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. May the Lord do his work. May this structure of the church in our homes be girded with strength and divine power to manifest his glory as we move on. Let us arise and build.
Rise up, O men of God.